And what was funny is I went back to that same boot camp a year later, and I thanked the person who told me, and he's like, no, you missed it. I hand deliver flyers as I'm walking down the street, and I put this coupon thing, you know, in newspaper. So he's like, no, I don't do flyers in the paper. So I misunderstood, and actually it created a marketing technique that actually worked.
You made a boatload of money?
Yeah, it did.
Were you buying houses? I remember I talked to you when you told me about that when I first met you, and they would go out on Sunday, and your phone would be ringing off the hook on Monday, and you're buying all kinds of houses.
Yeah, and that's one thing I tell students. You have to understand, if you put them in on Sunday, the calls you're going to get are like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then it's over.
Yeah.
And, you know, and some students of mine have done it all over, and they say, well, I only got four calls. And I'm like, okay, well, how much did it cost you per call? Nothing. Okay. Did you buy a house from the four? Well, it looks like I'm going to get one. I'm like, well, let me think. One for free with a $25,000 check, that works.
Yeah.
And so that's a real good one for especially the brand new newbie investor who mm-hmm. doesn't have a marketing budget at all and is trying to look for ways to generate incoming calls to get deals without any cash.
So the key would be is to find some sort of a supplier to get on that on the flyer.
Yeah, just go to anybody. I mean, if you think about right now, a lawn service company who advertises they want to cut lawns in the middle of, you know, June, today yep. it's a perfect time to get them to go a half-page ad for $400. I mean, that's cheap marketing. I mean, if they put a half-page ad in the classified section of the newspaper, it's going to cost them a couple thousand dollars.
Right.
So they can hit 1,000 households to specific zip codes for $400. Now, I used a heating company when they want to start advertising for cleaning furnaces come in the fall.
Yep.
They were always great to use. A carpet company, Stanley Steamer, any of those guys. A roofer, they only have to get one roof out of every 50,000 flyers to make it worth their while. So, you know, you're looking for the folks that are really trying to hit residential on a regular basis. Somebody that's already marketing in the, you know, contractor section of the classified. And basically, they get a huge half-page ad for a whole lot less than what they're normally spending.
Yeah, what a bargain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the flyers worked out pretty well. What else did you do at the beginning?
In the beginning, I bought the little bandit signs, the ones that say, we buy houses cash.
Yeah.
Blanketed those all over the place.
What colors did you use?
I like the Halloween colors, black and orange.
Yeah.
I've used yellow and red, white and red.
Those are my colors, yellow and red.
Yeah, I've used white and red, too. For me, a lot of the other investors in my town have the signs out now.
Mm-hmm.
Since I run a rehab subgroup here in Connecticut, a lot of them are catching on to what I'm telling them. So
since
I had to differentiate. Huh?
Since you told them all.
Yeah, right, since I taught the world. I have to differentiate my signs from there. So a lot of them are yellow. So I use black and orange because nobody else is using that.
Excellent.
And I put them out on all the properties I already own. And I try to put at least three in the front yard because when they're in multiples, when there's more than one sign, you know, it stands out a lot more and it gives it a lot better presence if they actually get called.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I run a rehab group. A RIA group, Real Estate Investment Club, up here in Boston. And I teach everybody about the signs and all the different marketing techniques. And now, you know, we've got the Real Estate Marketing Toolkit, which is sold all around the United States, and everybody's making money with it. And people say, you know, why are you teaching people this stuff? You know, don't you think that you're not going to get as many deals? It's like, what, are you crazy? So there's plenty of deals for everybody.
Well, everybody says that, you know, about us. The speakers. I get that same comment. Why are you teaching a rehab subgroup? It's going to make you impossible to find anything now that you've taught them all your secrets.
Yeah.
What I find is what it does is it generates a lot of interest with the brand new folks who don't have their money lined up, and they
mm-hmm.
bring you the deal.
Hmm.
You know, and then I either partner or I buy it from them wholesale. So it actually makes my life a whole lot easier. They hand deliver the qualified deal to my desk now, and I don't even have to go out and look because if it's one of my good students, they've already got it pre-screened. I mean, just to give you an idea, I had a student bring me a deal that's worth about $675,
yep.
and he had it under contract for $310,000 and it needed $110,000 in work. So it was $420,000, and then what we decided to do is, since I knew he understood rehab costs and how to handle contractors, because I taught him, what I did is put the money up, and then he's handling the entire transaction. We're going to split it right down the middle, 50-50.
That worked.
Yeah, and I mean, I hope he goes out and finds 10 more like that.
So once somebody starts using these techniques, they can teach them to other people and create wholesalers and bird dogs mm-hmm. for themselves.
Or, you know, and that's the other thing. People that are listening to this who don't have their money lined up yet, because that's
yep.
part of the intimidating thing is going out and ask people for money when you haven't done a lot of deals. Mm-hmm. The great thing is you can go out and find deals from these cheap techniques and then wholesale them to the experienced investors in your town.
Absolutely.
All they have to do is go to a real estate investors organization and find the gurus there, the ones that have bought properties over the last 5, 10, 15 years, and approach them and say, hey, I got a really killer deal. Don't have the money. Do you want it?
Mm-hmm.
And like you and me, Dave, that's why I go to those meetings every month.
Oh, yeah.
Because I know that somebody's got one and doesn't have the money to finance it.
That's right. Yeah, that works out well. So didn't I see at one time you had these big pink signs?
Yeah, no, those, yeah, the great big pink ones, the huge ones, the biggest ones I've ever done, were the same size as the side of a city bus. You know, you see city buses run all over the place. It's got an advertisement on the side panel. Well, what I did is I put a great big pink one on there, 12 feet by 3 feet high, that says, "We buy houses cash. Call Home Buyers." Home Buyers is the name of my company, today, with a phone number. It had a big blue house on the corner, and then the sign was just neon pink. It stood out. The signs worked out well on the buses, but what I found out was actually better than putting them on the side of the city bus was to actually take them and bolt them onto the balconies of the houses I was rehabbing. The people had to actually chase the bus to get the phone number, so I found if it was stationary at a home, it works out a whole lot better than it does on the side of a bus.
Was doing the bus expensive?
Yes, it was. They were charging me, I want to say it was somewhere around $1,200 per month to be on 15 buses.
Hmm.
Now, the signs, whether they fit the side of the bus or, you know, were used on the balcony, I could reuse the signs. They're a corrugated plastic. They would come in a great big round tube. So what we did is I had my contractors just take them after we took them off the side of the bus. They actually glued them onto plywood, you know, to make it a solid sign with legs and everything. We put them in the front yards and used them on the balconies instead. And so we actually, I think I paid about $400 or $500 for 15 of those signs. They last me for about 2.5 years when they were stationary in the yard.
Yep.
So we well got our money out of them plus a bunch.
that's a good price. Do you have any internet sites now that you're buying your small signs on that you're getting them cheap?
We are. I'm just trying to think where I bought my last stuff. I want to say I bought from Bandit Signs was the last place we ordered from. And I don't know. All of them are about the same. They're like 25 cents difference in price. I think I'm paying right around $1.50 or $2 a sign.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we order them here like $250 at a clip. And to be honest with you, Dave, the price of what I'm paying for them is kind of irrelevant. The more I get out, the better off we are. I mean, if I put out 100 signs, if I have somebody put them out, it'll generate enough for me to at least buy one, probably two houses.
Why don't you tell us your Brian story, the Brian that works in your office when he was struggling and needed a deal?
Oh, yeah. I had a realtor was financially had quit his job and was really trying to get his investing career up.
A realtor working for you because you own a real estate agency as well, but you only really house one or two agents.
Right. I don't want a lot. The two agents I do have are investors, so I don't have to babysit, if you will. So Brian came to me. He had bought a house and had quite a bit of money tied up in it, was living in it, and whatever, was a little short on cash. So I said to him, he came to me and says, "I need to make some quick money." I said, "Okay, I'm all ears." And so we talked about it, and so I said to him, "Why don't you go out and put signs out for me? You know, and worst case scenario, I'll buy a deal off the signs and I'll give you a couple $1,000s. I mean, Dave, you know as well as I do, my schedule's berserk with 68 speaking engagements a year and boot camps to teach and, you know, doing 40 houses a year. I don't look for deals, but if they come my way, I by all means, will pay a wholesaler.
Absolutely.
So Brian took, I would say, close to 75 of my signs and went and blanketed the neighborhood with them. And sure enough, a deal surfaced and, you know.
Yeah, like within a matter of days, wasn't it?
About 4 days.
Yeah.
You know,
those are signs you had laying in your garage, weren't they?
They were here at the office in the closet. And so he put them out, and the call came in. My secretary, Bridget, took the call, and she asked a few critical questions, which we'll talk about what we do to pre-screen sellers over the phone. And she laid the deal in front of my desk, and I called the lady back, and I said, "Okay, I'm in. I'll come take a look." So I went out and looked at it. Turned out it was an estate sale with 7 heirs to it. And any time it's an estate sale with a lot of people involved, I know that they're motivated, because everybody's only going to get a little bitty check anyway, so, you know, I can make some money there. And so basically I talked to her and told her what I could pay, and she agreed, and I went back to Brian and said, "Sure enough, we're buying a house off the signs," and I cut him a $3,000 referral fee.
Nice.
So, you know, that was something that he really needed at the time, and it worked out for him, and it ended up we went off and did the deal and made $20-some thousand on that one. And actually that one went through my IRA, so that one was even sweeter. And it just all worked out for everybody. And, you know, there are times when I have staff people or I have, you know, folks in the office who need to make extra money. I just pay them to put the signs out.
Excellent.
And that works out well.
Was there anything else that worked really well at the beginning for you?
Mine, we buy houses cash ad, and the newspaper worked well for me, too. My paper's not huge. It's not a real big paper. It's not expensive. And with being a realtor, I get a 30% discount to do advertising there. And as a realtor, we need to spend a little bit of money every single month with the paper to keep our discount rate. So I ran We Buy Houses Cash, call home buyers, God bless you, and
Thank
my
you.
Phone number. And I left that paper, that ad in the paper, 7 days a week for about 2.5 years. And it would cost me less than $100 a month.
Wow, that's cheap.
Yeah. I mean, our paper's
real
small.
Mine costs me about $5,000 a year.
Mm-hmm. But you're dealing in which newspaper?
Oh, the Brockton Enterprise in Brockton.
See, for us, our paper's pretty cheap. So with the realtor discount, like $125 a month. So, you know.
So mine pays for itself every year. I mean, some years I get a couple of deals. Some years I get a bunch of deals.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you stop yours? Did it stop working?
No, they all work. Everything works, the signs, the flyers, and the ads.
Yeah.
But what I found, I went away to a seminar, and I was asked to be a panel on the expert panel. And we had to go down and tell what we did for marketing. And at the time, I was doing like 8 different things. And so then the next question was, how many deals do you get per year from the marketing techniques that you use? And the 80-20 rule kicked in. Well, 80% of my deals were coming from 20% of what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, so what was I doing where most of the deals were coming? And it turned out that the realtors, the REO realtors, the ones that handle real estate foreclosures, were the ones that were feeding me most of the deals. And I'm saying to myself, okay, well, what if I spend a little bit more money rewarding those folks who bring me the great deals and letting them know really what I'm looking for and fine-tuning that operation? I could eliminate a lot of the other things I'm actually spending money on. And so what I did is I developed relationships over the next year and a half with 5 really quality REO agents, let them know what neighborhoods I want, what profit margins I want to be in, how ugly the houses can be. You know, basically I told them nothing scares me. If it needs $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 worth of work, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
See, what they thought is because I was a girl, they kind of figured, well, you know, we can't give her the real, real bad ones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I had to get that misnomer out of their head. And so after I spent more time working with them, taking them to restaurants for lunch, really taking them out to dinner and thanking them once they gave me a quality deal, what I've been able to do, Dave, because of my busy travel schedule, is just let them feed me the good REO properties as they're coming in the pipeline. They tell me before they have a list price, as soon as they've done their broker's price opinion, they say, go out and look at it. We're figuring out what we're going to tell the bank to ask for it. We know it's a mess. We know you would like it. Go look at it. Let us know where you're at. And I go out and do all that evaluation before they even have a price on it. And at that point in the game, usually I'm pretty close to where the banks, you know, want to sell it for.
Let's do this before you get into that. So your better deals were coming from your realtors.
Right. So I spent marketing money on them.
Yeah. Rob, why don't you take us right from the very beginning and how you establish your relationships with your realtors at the beginning and then take us through right through today, because I know you're getting a bunch of deals through realtors.
Okay. Well, in the beginning, I was a realtor. I went to quit my job at IBM, and I said, you know, if I get laid off, I got to have some other source of money because I had $500 to my name. And waiting tables was not anything I wanted to do the rest of my life, especially on the shift from 5 o'clock at night till 3
I've been
in the morning.
To that diner, though, and they've got great dessert.
Food is real good there. I still eat there, but I don't want to serve people there.
Right.
So I said, okay, if I could just start selling houses as a realtor and making some commission money, could I make enough to replace the $43,000 salary? And sure enough, just at nights and on the weekend, by selling houses for a living, I got to the point where my first full year, I sold $83,000 in commission. That was double what I made at IBM. So I said, hey, I'm going to quit. So I saved about $20,000 from my commission, and I said, I'm quitting my job. So I did, and I said, all right, now, I've done a couple little investor condos where I bought one and fixed it up a little bit and sold it and made $5,000. And I had done a little fixer-upper house along that time frame, too. And I said, well, it made me $17,000. So I said to myself, if I could just find 2 good investment deals and sell $80,000 in commission, I don't ever need to work.
Right.
So that's what I did. So I used the MLS, and I learned that way how to find the deals, and so then I quit my job. After that, that's when I started doing the signs and the flyers and the ads. As I started making more money, I had money to market. Well, what I found is the foreclosures were being listed by the same folks over and over and over again. And so as I wanted to show them to other investors and I wanted to look at buying them for myself, I started developing friendships with the realtors when I called to set up a showing, that they knew who I was and they knew that if I was bringing a buyer or I was going to buy it myself, the deal would go through. So over the next few years, the realtors really started trusting in me. And what's evolved over the last 9 years is there's a handful of them now who know that I'm good for the cash. They know I'm always going to close. They know it's going to be a short closing. And they know I'm going to waive my commission and give them both sides of the commission. So at that point in the game, they call me first and say, hey, we'll call Robin. If she wants it, great. We know that's the easiest closing of any investor in town. And only the things she doesn't want, we'll give to everybody else
that's
to go
nice.
Take a look at.
Which what wouldn't you want?
Well, I don't buy houses in the war zone.
Well, that's true.
You know, if I'm ducking bullets in the middle of the broad daylight, I don't want to own anything there. I mean, I know my exit is to sell it to a buyer to live in it. You always
right.
got to look at the exit before you enter. So a house that's in a real rough, bad neighborhood, I don't want that. A house that's real tiny square footage-wise, something smaller than 800 square feet, I don't want because it's hard, again, to get rid of it.